This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world. Occasionally.
So welcome everybody to an episode of Paul and Michael occasionally save the world. With me today is not Michael. He could not free up the time in his busy, heroic schedule to record a podcast this week. But filling in for him is somebody who is quite capable. And ironically, totally by coincidence, I'm wearing the one Batman t-shirt that I own. With me is a co-host of the Batpod, new member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what your podcast is.
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate you. I'm Joey Galvez, and I am the co-host of the Batpod, and we, on the Batpod, we celebrate everything Batman and Batman-related, and, you know, that we've been a part of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network for a little under a month, I'm sorry. And we've gotten a handful of episodes out, and we've been pretty excited to be a part of this network and part of the network family and talking with all you guys. You guys are all pretty awesome, and you guys are amazing over at that network. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, we're the network that makes 1 month feel like three. Like I know how it is.
Right.
We add years or take years off your life rather quickly. You and your co-host there joined up on the Discord chat that we have for the network recently. So like I knew you guys had joined the network as a podcast, but I hadn't talked to you guys at all.
Yeah.
And I had actually silenced my notifications on Discord because it just blows up my phone all the time.
Right.
But I realized that the most recent iPhone update, now once you get a few notifications, it condenses it into just one for that app.
Oh.
So I was like, hey, I could turn on notifications again. So I did that. I saw you guys were in there and we started chatting, and I threw out the call for needing somebody to join me this week. You jumped in and we got chatting a little bit, so I'm glad to get to know you some.
Yeah, I think I am. I don't know if I would call myself a sadist for recording, but I feel like I'm always recording and always editing. I think my wife probably will agree with that one.
I believe the first messages I saw from you was literally you saying, why aren't I recording and editing right now? So I was like, okay, this guy sounds like he wants to jump in on this. But, yep. So welcome. I kind of told you a little bit about how we format the show. And usually what I do, because Sparky and I will record every couple of weeks, just because that's kind of time-wise how it works out. He has another podcast. This is condensed down into my only podcast. Mm-hmm. But what I do in the off weeks is I try to find guests. So technically this is an off week. You're filling his shoes because he just wasn't able to work it out. But so it kind of gives me the freedom when I'm not recording with Sparky to record about whatever with whoever. But we try to stay positive. We keep it clean. But just talking to you, I think that's kind of what you aim to do also.
Right, yeah.
So you're a perfect fill-in for Sparky this week.
Cool.
But I liked in our conversation you mentioned you listened to the last episode I did with Sparky, and
yes,
we were mentioning the lack of need for creator bashing. And you mentioned that you wanted to kind of talk about that some too. So I figure we'll kind of kick off with that and then just roll where we go from there.
Okay.
But you had some thoughts that you wanted to share. Do you want to kind of start it off?
Yeah. So the reason why both myself and Bill Beer, we both had separate podcasts. And he did Too Old, Too New, and I did MCDC podcast. And we both created those podcasts, and he had done multiple podcasts before, and we both created podcasts because we had this need for, you know, there was so much out there where people were bashing creators and bashing comic books that we loved. And it was just so hard to agree with a lot of those people because it was just so negative all the time. And I found myself getting a little negative as well. And I had to step back and rethink that a little bit. And I found that if I took a step back and take a look at the grander scheme of things, you know, these people are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into this stuff, whether or not we like it or not, you know. And I think I told you earlier today, you know, if there's something that is my least favorite, you know, there's somebody out there that is their top most favorite thing, whether it be, you know, comic books, TV, or football, or anything out there. You know, your least favorite could be somebody's most favorite.
And exactly. Somebody has to be a Browns fan, right?
Right. And, you know, but that's the thing. And I was listening to your guys' show, and you and your guests were talking about, you know, that's what it comes down to. That's what it boils down to. Whatever you like, that's what you like. It doesn't mean, you know, the next person that's talking with you, or you talk to somebody and they don't like what you like. You know, that's okay. That's fine, too. You don't have to bash on them for disliking or liking something that you may or may not like. So
exactly. So yeah.
Me and Bill, we kind of stopped doing our other podcasts, and we focused on the Bat Pod because that's what we wanted the Bat Pod to be. We wanted it to be something that was celebrating the characters and celebrating the team who put that character onto those pages. And that's basically what we do. We celebrate everything that comes out of the Batman and the Batman family. So, and I think it's actually made me think a little bit differently of these books, because before I was getting a little negative on some of these, like, Tom King books and things of that nature. And now I kind of sit back and look at it at a different light.
Yeah, I strongly agree with you. And I think the Tom King Batman is kind of a good little, like, linchpin to center this around too. I haven't read a ton of it. I read some of the first of the run. Even though I love comics, and I've read a lot of DC and more Marvel than DC, mm-hmm. but I always get superhero fatigue at some point. Like, I have a limit, and then I got to switch over to other stuff, because my favorite stuff in comics is definitely not the traditional superhero stuff, even though I love some of the traditional superhero stuff. Like, Uncanny X-Men has been a big focus mm-hmm. for me, yeah. but still, I'll read it for a while, and I'll just hit the point where I just kind of put it aside for a while. But with Tom King's Batman, I've seen just so much negativity, and especially right. from some people who love Batman. Right. And when you build up that negativity, suddenly you find yourself, maybe you were okay with it, you know, or maybe you wanted to enjoy it. But if you're just always swimming in negativity with it, then you either have to turn off the people that are being negative, or you start getting negative too. So
correct.
Why not focus on the positive? That's also why Sparky and I started doing this podcast. He and I would just chat, you know, in private conversations, DMs and whatever, and we were always recommending stuff to each other, and a lot of the time we liked it because both of us go into stuff very open-minded, wanting to like it. So if somebody, you know, he and I tend to also have similar tastes and stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, like Martin, for example, he would recommend something to me like Stormwatch.
Okay.
Not, you know, just not my cup of tea. Like, the newer Stormwatch, I actually read and enjoyed the first trade of it. But like, the older stuff, that era of comics.
Yeah.
Really, you know, especially Image stuff, just like, you know, Image or Marvel or DC stuff at that time is going to be difficult for me. And it wasn't my cup of tea. Doesn't mean it wasn't a, you know, a recommendation that came from Martin's heart, or that it's not something that he loved. And so there's no reason for me to be negative on it. So Sparky and I, with this podcast, we try to focus on just what we like, what we want to recommend to each other, and, you know, by extension, other people. But one learning point for me a lot with the bashing creators thing. So being a big Valiant fan, are you a Valiant fan? That's kind of how this network started, was with the Valiant Central podcast that Martin and I did.
You know, I've never actually picked up anything Valiant. I think I've got I'm lying to you. I think I have some laying around in my long box somewhere, but I don't think I've actually like read it, because I've got tons of stuff in there that I've never even read. And like
it's funny that we're finally getting to the point with the network where we're extending beyond the people that we knew from being such big fans of Valiant. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people making podcasts on our network were listeners and yeah. became our friends, and then started doing podcasts with us, then spread out and doing their own thing. So it's been interesting. It's kind of cool. We're getting to the point where it's like, oh, you don't even care about Valiant, but you're here. So we're expanding. But so being a Valiant fan, and I was a really diehard Valiant fan, like I got huge into them a little bit after the relaunch. I never read them back in the 90s. I didn't read comics in the 90s. I hated comics in the 90s. But the relaunch was basically when I was really getting into comics, and I loved it. So I was a huge Valiant fan. We did that podcast for about 3 years. And at some point a while back, Rob Liefeld took a pot shot at Valiant on Twitter, and Valiant fans tend to, you know, get really, really into stuff and hyper and crazy and whatever. So everybody was anti Liefeld after that, you know, and so there's a lot of Liefeld bashing, and I kind of jumped into it, you know. It's like, I wasn't very familiar with Liefeld because I didn't read comics when he was kind of in his heyday in the, you know, the 90s. Okay. So I had no, like, being exposed to him when he was making an impact, but you could go and look around at some of his art that, all the jokes made, like, you could find art that represented it well, right? Mm-hmm. So it was really easy to bash on Liefeld. And then that kind of died down. My fervor for Valiant kind of died down when they got, you know, bought out by the Japanese investors or whatever. And, you know, Dinesh got ran out of the company and it, whatever. So, like, that all died off. So my intensity with it kind of died off. And then I started seeing Liefeld on Twitter, like, poking fun at himself. And, you know, like, you start to see Liefeld look kind of like a good guy when you're not blinded by the just like, well, I have to bash this guy, right. You know? Yeah. So I'm not saying that I'm going to love Liefeld's work. I haven't I mean, I've probably started getting a little bit of exposure to the stuff that Liefeld did with where, like, it just being digging into the X-Men deeper and deeper, you know? It's like those butt up against each other. But yeah, it's like now I look and I'm like, well, Liefeld really, he kind of seems like an okay guy. And why would I have ever had that animosity towards him? You know, I mean, right. He made one comment that, like, maybe, but whatever. People get bent out of shape about silly stuff. So that was a big learning point for me. Is I all this time, like, I hated this creator, and I may not even care about his work, but why am I spending my time hating him? You know,
right? And it's hard, you know, because when you start the negativity, it's contagious, right? And you catch the negative bug there, you know, and you start to find that you know, kind of get in there with the people that are being negative where you probably wouldn't normally say something like that. And I that's where I found myself. I found myself kind of bashing on Tom King and his Batman. And I'm like, oh, this is not my Batman. You know, do a better job or things of that nature. But then I kind of stopped. I was like, why am I saying that? I don't know this guy, you know, from the next guy. And why am I so quick to jump on this guy just because other people are? Because, you know, so I step back and now that I'm looking at it at a different way, and he's not so bad. I'm looking at some of the stuff, dude. Some of the last few books that come out are some of my favorite ones in a long time, you know, and I kind of look through my long box and one of the graded books that I have is, you know, one of his books. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't really know that this wasn't, and I read it. I actually went out and bought a second copy so I can read one and have one graded. And I didn't realize that it was Tom King because I wasn't looking at the creator then. But not until I started hearing everybody start talking some trash about people. And then I started looking at it. It made me notice a little bit more. And then I was like, oh, well, yeah, I hate that too. Well, no, I didn't. I really liked it. I just didn't want other people to know that I liked it. And that's a thing. I think a lot of people go through that. You know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter who's in high school right now. And she's going through things like that right now as well. And I think that's society, right? You don't want to come straight out and say that you like something that other people like or the masses don't like. And we get embarrassed by it.
Yeah, that's totally true. My 6-year-old son, he's in kindergarten this year, and he's being negatively influenced to like the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going against the Dodgers in the World Series. And now he's like in the wrong team because his friends do, you know?
Right.
it's so funny. Like he a girl that he likes at school, one of his friends, she'd wear like Patriots or Red Sox t-shirts, so he'd come home talking about them. Like he has no concept of sports yet, right. But he likes the Red Sox. He'll talk about the football team, the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's baseball, Sam. But no, but yeah, I mean, you're exactly right that you know, people get pressured into that. And you know, my son's not old enough to be going through that yet, but I've seen it with my nieces and nephews, my cousins that are, you know, a good chunk younger than me. You get those biases that it's just because everybody else has that bias, and it's easy to get caught up into that. So it's very freeing when you let go of that and are just like, I'm going to like what I'm going to like. Mm-hmm. What was the Tom King book that you had graded that you didn't realize was Tom King?
It was actually his Rebirth, Batman Rebirth number one.
Okay, cool.
And I was like, and I went out and bought it a second time because I loved it so much. And
that's awesome, yeah.
And I even liked, you know, a handful of other things. I think, wasn't he on Grayson for a little while too or something like that?
Yeah, he did Grayson. I read a little bit of that. I thought that was pretty decent.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. I think I'm only missing the second issue, which is, you know, every number two is really hard to get if you don't get it right when it comes out. You know, the first printing, first printing at least, you know. And I and I'm one of those guys, I really want a first printing, you know. So, but I really loved that run, and I didn't, not until I kind of recently went back and checked out those books, I didn't know that it was Tom King, you know, because back then, and I like to tell people, you know, I didn't really look at the creators and until I started podcasting and listening to podcasts within the last couple of years. And before, it was because I just wanted to read the story of some of my favorite characters. And yeah, these creators are awesome. And if there was something that jumped out to me and I really liked it, then I would, you know, seek out the creator. But I didn't really do that on every book that I read.
It kind of takes a while to get there. If you're just looking to enjoy yourself and enjoy the characters and stuff you like, you're not sweating the, you know, the details so much.
Right.
Like he did Grayson. I read some of that. I liked it fine. Omega Men was one that everybody was raving about when that came out. And that was supposed to be killed early, and fan, you know, outcry pushed DC's hand to finish it, too.
Oh, cool.
He did one that I really liked. I actually haven't finished it, but I've purchased the deluxe edition on Comixology, so I have the whole run. Mm-hmm. Is Sheriff of Babylon is I believe that was published on Vertigo. That's like pretty gritty and harsh. I don't know if that's your cup of tea, but that's a book that I felt like was some real world realism that was like worth reading, and I enjoyed that a lot for what it was. The Vision he did with Marvel, that was pretty good. And when you look at a lot of those characters, like Omega Men, not big characters. The Vision, Grayson, like, I mean, even though, like, you know, of course Grayson is Batman, but it's like this tangent enough that people are like, yeah, do whatever you want. Yeah, this is cool and interesting. But then once it's Batman, it's like, no.
Right.
This is Batman. You do what I expect you to do with Batman. You don't try different stuff. I think that was what kind of drove that sentiment. Everybody loved Tom King. He was the greatest. Then he gets Batman, and they're not doing what they want him to do on it, and everybody hates it. Tom King is horrible. And I have friends, you know, people on our podcast network that I was like, you're being – I mean, I didn't say this to them because whatever. I mean, they could feel what they want to feel. Plus, in our private group, like, we're going to be more sarcastic or outlandish. Right. But
joke.
It's like you're being pretty hypocritical to be like, I don't like Tom King when you were on his – you know what – for a long time with these other books he was doing. But once he hits a little too close to home and you don't like the changes he's making.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's a lot like, you know, I don't know if you've watched the Titans TV show. A lot of people are bashing on that right now too. But you know what? I love it. I've watched the first two episodes and I got to tell you, man, that's, I like it a lot, a whole lot. And I'm not afraid to tell people, you know, I've got, even Bill, he's not too much of a fan of that. He likes it enough, but it's not something that he, you know, is going to, you know, it's not his favorite, you know, but me, it's pretty up there for me and I like it a whole lot. And, but around the world, we hear people bashing it so much and they're like, oh, this is too, this is not the Titans that we know, and it's just like you said, they're hitting too close to home for them, and because it's not something that they, the vision that they thought, it's not good enough for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I like, and we talked a little bit in, messaging each other about TV shows, the superhero TV shows, and there's been some I've liked more, some I've liked less. Like, I found for me that... like the made for cable ones or whatever, like, you know, the ones on CW and stuff, they're just not my cup of tea. Like, they're fine, you know, but they're just not my thing. Mm-hmm. The Netflix ones, like, I was more into those, but then as they expanded and expanded, like, they were starting to kind of lose me too. Like, Daredevil was the one that I loved. I haven't finished Punisher because I think I watched the first couple of episodes and then we killed Netflix for a while just because we weren't really watching it much for a while. Mm-hmm. So I still have to go back and finish that. A lot of the other ones kind of lost me, but there's a lot of different ways to like stuff.
Right.
And I think that people have a lot of what they want. Like, if you like the CW shows, The Flash and Arrow, and then you have, what is it, Gotham, and there's so many shows out there.
And so, all those other ones, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, so you don't like Titans? Okay, well, don't watch Titans. Watch these other ones that you know you like.
Right.
Like, you don't need, everything doesn't need to be for you. Somebody else wants something more gritty. I haven't seen Titans. That's only on the new DC right. app thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have that yet. Like, I have Marvel Unlimited paid for through mm-hmm. like the spring. So I think once that's up, I might try a month or two of the DC thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I figure I'll give them time to grow the comic library a little bit, maybe, because yeah. that'll be a big selling point.
Yeah, it is one of those things, you know, kind of like when Netflix and Hulu, they first came out the first few years, they didn't really have too much of a good content on there, right? I think that's mm-hmm. the one problem that I have with the DC Universe app and that thing that they got going is that, you know, I really wish that Titans was like bingeable, like they would do the Marvel Netflix shows. You know, let me watch uh-huh. a whole season at once, and then, you know, I would love it. But yet we have to wait for them to come out each week, kind of like the CW shows. I mean, it's okay, and I like it enough, but I really wish that I had something on their bingeable. And like you said, I do think that they need to build their library a little bit more. I'm at this point right now, I'm not quite sure if it is something worth to jump into. Until they have a little bit more content on there. And I think that's the one downfall that I see with this app is that they didn't have enough content. I mean, but we've heard that this thing was coming out for years now, right? I think I heard about it at least 2 years ago when they were announced it, or a handful of years. I don't know exactly when they announced it, but it's been quite some time. And, you know, that's enough time for you to find some content to come right out the gate, you know, on fire. I don't know if they did that, you know, I don't think they came out on fire. I think they came out,
yeah.
They came out, you know, good enough for me to want to watch and check out what they have. There's some great stuff there. And don't get me wrong, but I don't know if they came out on fire like I wanted it to.
Yeah, I think they need to have like that built up content, but I will say there's something I like about them releasing episodes one at a time, because, I mean, our society is used to the binging now. Like, right. We're used to being able to just get instant gratification. But I'll tell you one thing, and I think some stuff is better binging and some stuff is better taking it slower. Reading comics for the number of years that I have, I've only been reading comics for, like, solidly for 7 years, maybe.
Okay.
I've read them off and on a little bit before that, but I've been consistently reading comics and like buying monthly comics for probably around 7 years now. Mm-hmm. When I binge through stuff, I can remember the broad strokes of it, but the details are lost.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you what issue something happened in. I'll really like details will really, really get lost. Mm-hmm. If you have to read it slower, read it issue by issue, you get more of the details. So you have to really savor the moment you're in. When that next moment comes out, it layers on so much better and it makes the overall stronger. Relating it to like Valiant Comics, which is, you know, obviously I mentioned how heavily I was into that for a while. And one of the events, like Armor Hunters, was a big event. It was a total of, I think, 16 issues, 19, I think 19 issues was the entire story. So you got a few pieces a month, basically over a few months, something about like that. And getting the details added on, like, piece by piece, and I was so into it, was really cool. Now, when I first, like, when 7 years ago about, when I really got into comics again, and, like, started getting monthly comics and stuff, I was digging back and getting all the stuff that was leading up to Avengers versus X-Men, because when I got into comics, like, I started out with Batman, actually. I was reading a bunch of trades, graphic novels, and then I started getting, it was, like, shortly after New 52 happened. So I was able to go back to number one and start reading Batman that way. And then I added in X-Men, and it was right after X-Men had split into Uncanny X-Men mm-hmm. and Wolverine and the X-Men. And then that was building towards Avengers versus X-Men. So I was going back and reading all these trades. And I binged so much stuff and I enjoyed all of it. And it was great binging on all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, like I couldn't tell you what was what anymore.
Right.
And now I'll go back and reread something and I'll be like, I don't really want to reread this, but like I at least now I kind of understand how the details fit in better.
Yeah.
That also ties in with the bashing on creators. I like to kind of make fun of Bendis. Because his, like, once I got my feet under me with reading comics, when I would try to read Bendis's Marvel stuff, like the new stuff that was coming out, it always just felt like this, like, it felt like characters didn't matter. It just felt like this big mishmash. But then I would look back and realize that I had read so much Bendis stuff when I first got into what I was reading. And so, you know, kind of put me in check and made me realize, like, I may not like this thing that he's doing.
Yeah.
But look what it did for me when I was coming up. Like, it's providing something that just isn't what I want right now. So, you know, kind of put me in check. Like, I still like to make a little Bendis joke here and there. But I also totally see what, you know, what he does and the importance of it.
Right.
Let alone the fact that I wasn't there to experience, like, when he was doing stuff that was the critical hit stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I like his stuff, you know. I like a handful of his things, you know. I like what he's doing with Superman right now. A lot of people don't. I like it. But when I went over to go read, like, Pearl, you know, his Jinx World stuff. And, I mean, Pearl was okay, but the first one, I don't think, kind of got me, you know. And then same thing with a couple of the other Jinx World books that came out. I don't think they got me as well as I thought they would. But I really love what he's doing with Superman, and a lot of people don't really like that right now. But I see where you're coming from, you know, but a lot of people are like that, you know, sometimes, and we're all human, right? We're all human. Sometimes we have our up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we have our greatest hits, and sometimes there's things in there that get peppered in that aren't so great. You know, I'll be the first one to admit I've got those faults as well. But do we sit back and bash him for that, you know, for being human? You know, I don't think so. I think that's where we need to sit back and say, and look at ourselves and say, why are we so down on these people for so long? You know, when this is what they're doing, they, you know, this is how they make their livelihood, you know. And I know if people were to go and, you know, cause I'm a contract painter, if people were to go and criticize something that I know that I did my very best on, and they say that they didn't like it very much, and that's gonna hurt me, and that's gonna sit there and hurt my rep, and you know, it's really hard to sit back and do that to people when I have to put myself in those shoes and say, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. Why would I do that to them?
Exactly, yeah. And like, a couple of my favorite creators are Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent. I got exposed to them because of Valiant, but that's kind of the point where I started saying, like, hey, these creators are great, and I check them out, and now my love of those two far exceeds, like, caring about what they did at Valiant. Like, the stuff I love from them, actually, their indie stuff, I love much more than what they did at Valiant, mm-hmm. Even though they also did my favorite thing that Valiant published. But, you know, going through their work, it's like there's so much of it that I love and that I kind of take for granted how great I think it is and that I have friends that think it's great. And then I come across somebody that, like, Essex County that Jeff Lemire did is probably my favorite book that he did. Mm-hmm. And people just flat out not like it. They don't get it. And you'd just be, like, shocked by that. Like, ah. So it's fine for them not to like it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if they were bashing it, like, oh, this is a piece of crap, I'd be pretty upset about it. Right. So, you know. Just to your point, like, Tom King, like, you know, he's doing the best he could do. Like, that is a huge honor to get Batman. Mm-hmm. He's doing the best that he can do with it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, cool. But, man, you can go back and look at many, many years of bad Batman work. It's not like there hasn't been bad Batman before. And, I, you know, this is it good? Is it bad? Doesn't matter. Like, enjoy it for what it is. And at some point, Tom King's going to be done, you know?
Yeah. I definitely.
So we. We're on a strict time limit today, because I have to get my son off the bus in a little bit. So I'm going to move us along a little bit. We have 15 minutes left. And normally I would just let us ramble on and go, but, there is something I want to talk about a little bit. And then after that, if there's anything you wanted to bring up to recommend or talk about, we could do that. I've been reading BPRD Hell on Earth really heavily.
Okay.
Now, you said that you were interested in checking out BPRD, but you hadn't yet. Have you read any Hellboy stuff?
I think I've read a few handful of Hellboy things, but it's been quite some time since I have. So I'm not, like you said, you know, when you read so much, so many things, they kind of all blend together.
Yeah. This is the best time to start becoming a Hellboy fan, too, because they're starting to publish really affordable omnibuses. They're like $25 or $30 paperback omnibuses.
Oh, wow. That's
That Dark Horse is publishing. Yeah, super cheap. It's like they're at least two or three trades worth of content each.
Wow.
But yeah, so Hellboy, BPRD, Abe Sapien, BPRD Hell on Earth, and there's other offshoots, too. Mm. It's getting really easy and affordable to get all this stuff. And let me tell you, if you try to get the floppies, it's a pain in the butt to read. Because it's not numbered in a way that it's all over the place. We'll save that for another day because that'll take too long. But I've read through all the Hellboy stuff and then BPRD. All of BPRD before it becomes Hell on Earth is captured in the Four Plague of Frogs omnibuses.
Cool.
And then the same time that Hellboy ends and you get Hellboy in Hell, you get BPRD turning into BPRD Hell on Earth because a major event happens and everything changes.
Wow. So
I had stockpiled a ton of comics, then I decided to get away from floppies, and I've purchased it all digitally. I've had 15 trades of BPRD Hell on Earth, like sitting on Comixology waiting for me to read. I had read a little bit of it at the beginning in floppies, and finally I just said, you know what? I'm going to read all this now. This is my main focus, is reading through all this. So I've read a few volumes since I've gotten my momentum back, and I think I'm on volume 10 now. And now that I'm really plugging through it, man, it is great stuff. It's kind of like how Ninja Turtles did, where, like, you know, Eastman and Laird created it, but then over time, like, they would kind of collaborate with other people on it, and other people would kind of take more work. So Mike Mignola's name is on everything, but like BPRD Hell on Earth, a lot of it's written by John Arcudi, who's also doing Rumble right now. If you haven't checked that out, I love Rumble.
I checked that one out.
I'm going to blank out his name now. Dave Thomas, the colorist. He does a ton of stuff for Dark Horse, but he does like all the coloring, and so like it all looks great. Different artists. But like now that I'm really rolling on it, like big events are happening in the world. Mm-hmm. Like I just read the part where Liz Sherman, she has pyrokinesis abilities. Yeah. So she was huge in Hellboy and in BPRD, and then she like disappears for this long time. She just reemerged and she's part of the team, and she's like taken her powers to a new level. So I'm still not at the end. And BPRD Hell on Earth is actually wrapping up soon. I think with volume 16, I may be wrong about that though. So I'm like wanting to try to get caught up on all that I have so I can get the last volumes as they come out and kind of finish the story with it. But for anybody that's like Hellboy at all, there's a ton of content. It could be intimidating, but it's getting really easy and really affordable to approach. Do you use Comixology? Are you a digital guy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Comixology sells, if you're patient, you watch those Hellboy omnibuses that have a ton of content. I've seen them on sale over and over for $5 on Comixology.
That's really good.
Yeah, you just can't go wrong. You can get all of Hellboy in like two or three volumes. They have a volume that has like these like offshoot stories. They have Hellboy in Hell in a volume. Abe Sapien. I keep on mentioning Abe Sapien. I mean, he's kind of more of an offshoot. Like I'd say Hellboy and BPRD were kind of like the two main threads, and then Abe Sapien's a character that's in all of that. But I really like the Abe Sapien stuff too. And then there's a bunch of other stuff that I'll save for another day, but been loving that stuff. So, I'll be talking about that again when I get to the end of my read through, but I wanted to mention that a little bit.
Cool. So right now what I'm reading, the biggest one that I'm excited about actually is Nightwing. They're doing some pretty crazy stuff over there right now. You know, I don't know if anybody's read it and, you know, sorry, spoiler alert, but he gets shot in the head. And then in 50, he, you know, torches all of his suits. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for you, but he torches all of his suits. And in this next one here that came out, there's a big one that's happened that you would never think of. And I would definitely recommend checking that out, going back and reading that. And I don't know what we're going to get with Nightwing going forward. If we're gonna, you know, but I don't know about you, but when somebody gets shot in the head, you know, you come out of that completely different and changed. And big things are happening with Nightwing right now, where I think he's gonna change, and I don't know whether it's gonna be for the better or for the worse, but it's definitely something to look into and check out.
Who's writing Nightwing right now?
Right now they transitioned from, I think it was Percy who was on there, and then I think it's now Lobdell. So
okay.
So now he's picked it up and he's he's writing it, and it's the one that he's written. I read it, and it was really good. I liked it a whole lot.
Awesome. Was he the one that wrote Deathstroke when it started?
I think so. I think they did changes there too. They change up a whole lot at DC all the time, so it's really hard to kind of track in which issues they write and stuff like that. But I can't remember. I have to look it up to make sure and give you an answer on that one.
Yeah, I was reading after Rebirth happened. I was reading quite a bit of a lot of different things, and then kind of tailed off. You know, as I said, reached my capacity for Capes and Cowls for a while. Uh-huh. But I have gone back and read some volumes of Deathstroke and a few other things. Nightwing, I checked out a little bit when it was first starting, but that was kind of at the time that I was ready to back off a little bit. But everything you're saying sounds pretty interesting.
Oh, man, it's
crazy how many issues have come out.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's crazy how many issues have. I mean, I know it's like a lot of these comics are bi-monthly, so you're getting two a month, but it's like crazy to think they were like already above 50 on so many titles.
Right, yeah, yeah. And this next one, man, this one's a doozy. You got to read it till that end, that very last page. It's a big one, and something happens with Nightwing that you wouldn't think. So you're like, really? I mean, they've done this certain thing before, but I don't think they've done it with Nightwing before. So it's pretty interesting to kind of check this out and see where this one goes.
Awesome. Yeah. I got to start digging back into some of that stuff. Like, I've always been kind of more of a Marvel guy. Like, those characters have been easier for me to approach. So, like, DC is, like, I think I found with DC, like, number one, DC events, I just can't do. Yeah. I get lost, and I just, like, I don't care about enough of the characters to be like, oh, look, it's that guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's that guy? But I like titles that focus on some of those tangential characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I read the first issue of Hawkman, and I dug that a lot. And then I love Venditti.
Yeah, it was really good.
I didn't read, but I flipped through a couple issues of Plastic Man by Gail Simone, I believe, right?
Right, yes.
Like, that one interested me, too. So both of those, when they come out in trade, I'll be checking those out. But yeah, there's just like, there's so much good stuff at DC right now.
Yeah, DC's flipping its head on, I mean, at least with the Bat family, they're all flipping everything on its head right now. You know, we got... obviously, Nightwing flipped up on his head. We got Red Hood is, you know, no longer part of the Bat family, and he's doing things on his own. He changed his costume and everything, and the way he does everything. It's pretty. They're doing pretty good over there right now.
That's awesome. I liked Red Hood too. I got to check out some more of that stuff.
It's really good.
I'm gonna dig back in. I mean, yeah, you're the guy to talk to about this, since that's what you podcast about. But, awesome. Well, I think we'll go ahead and we'll start wrapping it up now so I don't run late, get my son off the bus. But you are definitely, definitely welcome to come back anytime. We're getting into the repeat guest category. I have a few people I like to talk to, so we'll get you back on sometime when it works out. Cool. And talk more and not have the constraints of the bus showing up and on a tight schedule.
My son's on his way home from school right now, too, so...
But yeah, so you can, listeners, you can find the Bat Pod on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Go to nerdylegion.com, that's where you find this one, the Bat Pod. You can find Comic Talk Today with Marty. You can find the Absolute DC Podcast with Ronnie and Aaron. There's so many great podcasts on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. So go there to check out all that we have to offer and all that. You can find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. Where do they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at JoeyGalvez84.
Awesome. So check us out, tweet us, check out those other podcasts, and I'm off my wrapping up game because I'm in a rush, so my brain's not working anymore. So we will call it quits,
all right.
And we will talk to you all later.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.